bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Monday morning to you. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. I will get to your text as soon as time permits, but keep them coming. We do appreciate your feedback, comment, complaint, suggestion, whatever it may be. That's where you want to do it. Joining us now on the library, please bring on my next guest. You'll get the opportunity to pick him or Katie Britt tomorrow on the Republican runoff ballot. If you choose to participate, Congressman Mo Brooks on the line with us for the 5th Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself, Jeff?
Doing well. Well, kind of give us a synopsis how things are going, how you're feeling, and what you're hearing out there.
Cautiously optimistic, as more and more people discern the truth, then they perceive that I am the conservative in this race, and I am the Republican in this race, and they're going to vote accordingly. The real key is going to be turnout. If conservatives and Republicans vote in large numbers, we win easily. On the other hand, if liberals and Democrats and rhinos and special interest members vote in large numbers, then Katie Britt wins easily. So it's really going to come down to who shows up tomorrow.
Well, and we were talking a little bit off air about this. You do see some in the late stages here. You are feeling a little bit of enthusiasm for your cause, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, things are moving in the right direction, although, quite frankly, it's been a struggle. When you've got four people who are trying to buy a Senate seat, who have put in over $15 million in order to buy that Senate seat, in order to pay for those dishonest attack ads against me, dishonest attack ads against Mike Durant. I mean, that's a hurdle for anyone to overcome. I had a friend tell me the other day, you know, with enough money, I could get people to dislike apple pie, chocolate, and ice cream. You know, if you give me enough money. And that's what we're up against in this race. You've got four individuals who are trying to dictate to the people of Alabama who the next senator is going to be, and if the people of Alabama are going to fall for it, well, why bother with elections? Why not just have those four people vote? And that will determine the outcome. And for those who don't know, it's Richard Shelby with 5.5 million, Mitch McConnell with 2 million plus. I should say Shelby's is 5.5 million plus. Jimmy Rain, 3 million plus. Francisco Collazo, defense contractor, he's put in 4 million plus. And by way of motivation or background, people know Richard Shelby. He, more than any other person in American history, is responsible for our $30 trillion debt. When he was first elected to the United States Congress, our debt was less than $1 trillion. Now it's more than 30 times as much, and he's been very instrumental as a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee for decades, spending money that we don't have to borrow to get, can't afford to pay back. You've got Mitch McConnell, who it was recently revealed in Schweitzer's book, Red Handed, has some real ethical problems. He's publicly disclosed the receipt of anywhere between $5 million on the low side and $25 million on the high side in gifts from his sister-in-law and father-in-law, both of whom have made gazillions of dollars because of their relationship with the Communist Chinese Party. So, you know, those are two folks that I would hope, if you're a Republican and a conservative, you really don't want controlling the vote of an Alabama senator. Then you've got Jimmy Rain. Many people know him. He's been active in Auburn athletic politics, meddling quite a bit. And Auburn people can tell you whether that's been for the good or for the bad, but certainly he's been active, and he's got the gazillions of dollars. He's put in $3 million of his own. And the defense contractor up here in the Tennessee Valley, well, anytime you can get a senator in your pocket, that helps the bottom line of your defense business. And so those four put together $15 million. That's the predominant source of the attack ad against me and Mike Durant. And then you add on top special interests generally and special interests that won't open borders and cheap foreign labor. So quite candidly, Jeff, it's been a challenge to overcome. Mike Durant was not able to overcome that kind of firepower, that kind of blatant dishonesty. Hopefully the voters, enough of them, have seen through it so that they know that Mo Brooks is the only conservative in this race and that Mo Brooks is arguably the only Republican. After all, with what the Democratic Party leadership has done in the last few weeks, it's quite clear that they believe that Katie Britt is the Democrat nominee in the Republican primary. And that can be Parker Griffith up here in the Tennessee Valley. That can be the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party. I'm not sure how many of your listeners heard what he had to say, but both of those have endorsed Katie Britt for the United States Senate.
Do you, that was something he said, going back to Doug Jones, that he credits her in some way for Doug Jones' win in 2017. I guess you feel the same way.
Well, Katie Britt and Richard Shelby elected pro-abortion Doug Jones in 2017, and Doug Jones has been candid enough in 2019 to publicly state that their strategy of suppressing the Republican vote by urging Republicans to write in somebody else or stay at home, that was the difference maker. As Doug Jones said, hey, anytime we could get a Republican to not vote for the Republican nominee, that was equal to a vote for Doug Jones.
Joined by,
and I could get that quote if you wanted me to read it. You know, I try to rely on actual evidence instead of just saying things off the cuff.
Well, yeah, because that it was Richard Shelby talking about not voting or voting for a distinguished Republican, and we remember that whole ordeal. But I mean, do you? What has been your reception to that? Have you gotten much feedback? Because you know, it seems to be, I don't know, kind of backward looking in some ways.
I don't know what you mean by backward looking, in as much as the Alabama Republican Party disqualified a number of candidates for doing lesser things in support of Doug Jones. So if the Republican Party was going to be consistent at the Alabama Republican Party Executive Committee level or Steering Committee level, then they would treat Katie Britt as they have treated other candidates who have been disqualified by the Alabama Republican Party for doing less than Katie Britt did. These other people who were disqualified were basically foot soldiers. Katie Britt was a commanding general along with Richard Shelby. That's a big difference.
Well, do you agree with those actions, to taking people off the ballot? Would you agree with seeing Katie Britt removed?
Absolutely.
From the ballot?
Of course. Are we a social club as Republicans or a Republican Party? Let's say that you have a Auburn defensive lineman, key play of the Iron Bowl, starts blocking his own linebacker so that an Alabama running back scores a touchdown. Do you think that that person would ever be allowed to play again at Auburn University? Of course not. We're a team. And you can't have people on our team helping the opposition win the game. And that's exactly what Richard Shelby and Katie Britt did. I mean, it's really simple. You're the Republican Party, and you have a belief system, and you stick together, and you fight for the same cause, or you're a social club. And if you're a social club, you might as well disband as a political unit.
Congressman, let's shift gears here, talk about some stuff going on nationally now. I want to get your thoughts on this, and I thought this was really important when Durant was in the mix here, talking about disarming the population and having a second understanding of the Second Amendment. Looking at what you're hearing, I know we don't have text of a bill or anything like that, but the idea that we would kind of tinker with gun laws in this country and where it's going to be decided is at the Senate level. What do you make of that? And, you know, like how perilously close are we to infringing upon the Second Amendment in this country? After every single shooting, there's always a move afoot to do something with guns and the Second Amendment in this country.
Well, we're not perilously close. We're already there. Infringement of the right to bear arms has been a constant for the last 40 or 50 years in the United States of America, where the Democrats and we need Republicans join together to take away this right or some other right. The United States Constitution is very, very clear. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means it shall not be diminished. But nonetheless, you've got people who don't want to adhere to the very clear language in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. What these rhinos And what these Democrats ought to do is be honest about it. Go ahead and do it in the appropriate way. If you're going to do it, let the public know that you want to repeal the Second Amendment right to bear arms. So just go ahead and propose your constitutional amendment to do that. Don't undermine the United States Constitution through these statutory or regulatory measures when you've taken an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution.
Congressman, one of your strong suits, economics, having a grasp of that, obviously honors at Duke University, but we're looking at this, looking at rate hikes, we're looking at things to do to stave off some of this inflation, particularly energy as well, gas prices. I think that's on the minds of a lot of people. From your perch, if you are elected to the United States Senate, what do we do? What is the right course of action? What would you call on Joe Biden to do?
The solution to inflation and skyrocketing energy prices is very, very simple. You just need senators and congressmen, enough of them with the intellect and the backbone, to do the right thing. Three things need to be done, and inflation goes away in a nanosecond. One, quit paying people not to work. Simple as that. Paying people not to work, it's interrupted our supply chains, fewer goods produced, pricing goes up. Two, quit attacking the energy sector, particularly Democrats, but again, we've got some rhinos who follow that same belief system that the world's going to die in a short period of time unless we quit consuming oil-based or carbon-based energy sources. That's false, what they are arguing, and it's actually counterproductive if you care about the environment, because poor countries are the ones that pollute the worst. So they're going to make things worse, not better, by what they're doing when they destroy the American economy. But if you want to lower energy prices, then you promote energy production. As the supply goes up, the price goes down. That's economics 101, the supply-demand curve. It's one of the first things you learn when you start taking economics. Very, very simple concept, and it is 100% accurate and true, everything else being equal. The third thing is we got to quit electing so many debt junkies to Washington, D.C. And I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans. Democrats in mass spend money we don't have to borrow to get, can't afford to pay back, that ultimately devalues our currency, which in turn forces us to give more currency for the same product. Okay? Currency is just a medium of exchange. That's all it is. It doesn't have any hard value unless you go back to the old gold standard that we had, say, in the 1930s. So you can't keep sending these debt junkies, and I want to emphasize that a lot of Republicans are debt junkies. They think it's easier to win their next election by spending that money we don't have, making a lot of people happy short term, at least the next November. You got to have people who have the understanding and the backbone to do the right thing economically. And that means saying no to some constituencies because you don't have the money to pay for it and you don't want to raise taxes, which is the way you should pay for it, or you should pay for it by diverting from lower priority items to higher priority items. But in Washington, that does not happen. That's why we've got a $30 trillion debt. And Richard Shelby is the number one cause of this $30 trillion debt that we have. He's got allies. He's probably got 15 or 20 other Republicans that are debt junkies just like he is. You add them to the Democrats, and all of a sudden, you're looking at a veto-proof majority that approaches 70-75 out of 100 senators. That's the cause of the problem with inflation. This is the way to solve it. Very simple to do, provided the American people will elect the right folks who not only have the understanding, but more importantly, have the backbone to do what's right for our country's future, instead of having these jellyfish that focus strictly on the next election, and they don't worry about the long-term adverse consequences of where we're headed.
Congressman, we're up against a break here, but real quick before we let you go, folks need to find out more about your campaign or anything else in these closing stages. Tell them where to look.
Well, I'm going to skip past that and get to the bottom line. Folks, tomorrow is the election day. If you can hear my voice, be mindful that hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million plus, have died giving you the right to vote. Please exercise that right to vote tomorrow. Do your homework, discern who's going to do what's best for America going forward, and vote accordingly. I'm Mo Brooks. I'm the conservative. I'm the Republican. If that's what you want, I ask for your vote tomorrow, Tuesday, June 21st. I promise you, I will do for the state of Alabama what I have done consistently for the people who hired me to be their elected official. And I should add that my reelection percentage in 11 different races exceeds, on average, 75%. I hope you infer from that I've done a good job for the people that I represent. I'll do the same for the whole of the state of Alabama if the state of Alabama sees fit to elect me tomorrow.
Congressman, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you tomorrow, and maybe we'll hear again from you soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a blessed day.
You do the same. That was Congressman Mo Brooks. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.